ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Toss, good stuff. Talking Illinois, Wisconsin going into Saturday. We'll, of course, do more of that tomorrow at Pia's. Come out and join us beginning at 3 p.m. Drink specials, great food, it's a great time. And we're going to have a number of good guests as well, including Jay Layman. Kent Brown's going to join us as well. That'll be fun. Hans D will be there. It'll be a good time. Come out and join us. We're going to talk some Illini basketball this hour. We'll hear from Brad Underwood, who spoke about what he wants to see from his team tomorrow night at the State Farm Center, and just a variety of other topics. I asked him specifically about Ty Rogers, about the depth on this team, and how much you'll find out about that here in the exhibition opportunities. So good stuff from Brad that we'll play later this hour, and also Dane Danger caught up with the media as well. We're about to see first pitch. Arizona game 3 NLCS, D-backs in a big hole, and it's going to be tough to climb out of, but they really need this game 3 to make it a series, Kyle.
They have to have it, and they got Brandon Pfaadt on the mound. If I had to guess, I'd say that there's going to be a couple home runs hit by that Phillies lineup in this game, but hey, you never know. Maybe the rookie will step up, but I know, you come back home to Arizona now, but I don't think there's any hope for this D-backs team. I think they just ran into a buzzsaw here with this Philly lineup.
Seems that way. I know Brandon Pfaadt, you look at his regular season ERA, it was 5.5, high fives. Not the actual high five, the bad kind. And then in the postseason, it's been a little bit better, but this, like you said, is just a loaded lineup, so many weapons, all the way down to like the 6 and 7 hole when you're going to face Real Muto, Castellanos, and it starts with Schwarber right off the bat, who he's been red hot, and Trey Turner, obviously Bryce Harper. So first pitch getting underway there in Arizona as we speak.
Did you see real quick on this morning, though? I don't know if you've seen this on Twitter, but apparently there's Phillies fans that are purchasing tickets to this game just so that they can remain empty. There's people in Philadelphia. This one guy goes, "Good morning to everybody except Arizona. Just bought 14 tickets for game 3 to assure that there'll be 14 less loser Diamondback fans."
Oh my God.
If there are any Phillies fans out there in Arizona in need of a ticket, shoot me a DM. And then there's like 156 comments. Some of them are people like, "Dude, what are you doing?" Others are like, "I just did my part too." There's someone else posting a screenshot and they picked up a top of the stadium ticket so that it could stay empty, and now you look on the screen and it looks like a pretty cool environment there in Arizona. So
it does look pretty good.
I don't think they did much. They didn't do didn't put a big dent in that stadium with that $14 ticket purchase. The 14 ticket purchase.
No, and I know some of these, according were to Twitter, and you got to take some of it with a grain of salt. You never know what's actually happening. But some, $12, $15 range. I know,
right?
One guy,
they're buying the cheapest ones.
Yeah. One guy quote tweeted and said, "Haha, joke's on you. My buddy who's a D-backs fan just DM'd you and got tickets pretending to be a Phillies fan." So there's a lot of fan shenanigans going on right here. Philly is dialed in, though. It's up to 10, 11 for them, and we've given them their due praise for that environment there in Philadelphia. But
it is crazy, too, that it says that the cheapest available ticket to game two in Philly was $140.
Mm.
Cheapest available ticket for this game today, $9 in Arizona.
Wow. And they should have been given away in Tampa in the wild card round. Jeez.
Pay you to show up.
Man, that was brutal for a franchise that with regularity is winning 90 games. And you can't even, in a very important playoff series, pack that place.
I know that they've had these discussions for years now about how they're going to they either relocate Tampa entirely or just build a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe there was even an update provided on that this year, but it seemed like they're adamant on staying in Tampa and they're adamant on keeping the stadium in the same location, which no one can get to. They need to do something there because Tampa is too good of a – it's such a well-run organization and has been for the last 5-10 years in Major League Baseball to have that type of fan turnout and fan support. They deserve better there. And we know that Tampa is capable of being a really good sports city, but it's just
see with baseball the Lightning, when the Bucks are good.
The Bucks are good, of course, but it's just that I think it's the location of that. I've never been to the stadium or witnessed it, but apparently the problem is that it's like you have to wait in an hour of traffic just to get to the stadium, and it's impossible. I'd need somebody who actually is familiar with the area.
I've been there. I haven't. Yeah, I'm not familiar with the area. It's been a while. The building itself is just weird, and it's indoors, obviously, and it just doesn't feel like a big-time place to see a baseball game. And I get it. I mean, you're going to go through a 162-game season, and there's a lot of things to do in Florida, so maybe throughout the regular season they're not going to pack it. And while Miami has a really nice stadium, they haven't had the best of turnouts even – I mean, they don't have the same teams, obviously, because I think – Since getting that stadium, they haven't been, you know, that's past the days of the Josh Beckett, AJ Burnett, Dontrell Willis, Marlins team that had a nice run there in what was that, 2003? And then, of course, you go back further than that. It was Edgar Renteria and that team in the 90s as well. So
apparently they do have, so this is from September of this year, that apparently they did complete a deal for a new stadium that is set to open in 2028 in St. Petersburg.
Interesting.
Which I didn't realize. I thought maybe there was something, but I felt like when they official whatever news, it must have been this, whenever they announced it, the overwhelming reaction was, well, this doesn't change anything. But I don't know. Apparently it's a $1.2 billion project.
Mm.
Maybe hopefully, it will be a big improvement there in Tampa.
Hopefully they get the buy-in because they got the product. Even without a crazy, I mean, forget crazy payroll, an average payroll. Yeah. Like they're towards the bottom in the league regularly in payroll, and yet they win 90 games.
Imagine how many times Lon will be down there if they have a brand-new baseball stadium in St. Petersburg, Florida. Boy, he may fully retire from this show.
He's always joked he was going to be like – an usher, or he's going to work at the ballpark in some capacity. You give him a new stadium, all the more reason to go. He might not come back. He might just go from Pia's where he's currently, pack up his stuff and leave. And he's kind of halfway joked with us a little bit here recently. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm looking at this property in Florida. You like this location of the beach? And who knows? Maybe he's on the way out.
New Tampa Bay Rays season ticket holder.
There it is.
Lante.
There it is. If not,
if
yeah.
the Cardinals don't sign any pitching, maybe it's maybe that's the move for him.
Yeah, on that note, I know Scott waited on the U of I line link text line and asked if does Piper have a line I hat. I do have one. I don't have a ton of Illini gear because I don't really get to go out and rep it a whole lot because obviously I'm a journalist. Try to keep it unbiased for sure, but I was wearing he said Cardinals hat and kind of did the shaking my head or whatnot. And that was, I think yesterday's or maybe 2 days ago's, podcast on YouTube. I'm actually bringing back the good vibes for Arizona. I'm wearing the Arizona hat today. Number one, I like hats. Number two, I'm waiting on my wife to give me a haircut, so I'm kind of just hiding the long do right now. That's kind of another aspect of it. But random aside, before we reel it back in, Kyle, are you a hat owner? I don't know if that sounds really stupid. Like, are you a dog owner? Do you own hats? You're currently wearing a hat. That was the dumbest question I've ever asked. Yes. What do you feel like is your coolest hat? And is there a hat out there, like a baseball cap or something, that you'd be like, man, I've always wanted one of those?
Man, I don't know if there's one I've always wanted.
I used to want an A's hat, although the colors are hard to probably match. The Barry Zito A's, I like those. I wouldn't probably touch it now because the franchise is terrible. But,
I mean, just for me personally, I don't actually own a Miami Dolphins hat. I got to rep those colors on a cap. That'd be pretty cool. I got to find one. But, yeah, I don't know. I always like to get hats on, some of the cool places I travel with my family. Like, the one I'm wearing right now is from, now I don't even know. You'll have to tell me what it says, but it's one of the national parks.
Canyon?
It's one of the national parks I was at. I want to say Bryce Canyon National Park.
I just saw Canyon.
I like this one I'm repping now, but yeah, I don't know. Sports wise, I don't know if I have like a hat wish list. I just kind of see some and pick them up.
Yeah.
I like your D-backs hat.
I appreciate
that's cool.
It. That's probably one of the best ones that I have. I've got one of these. I had a Blue Jays hat, like the old school ones. Doesn't fit anymore. Apparently your head grew like when I got them in high school and they didn't. My head decided to get bigger, I guess. I had a Pirates hat when I went to – have you been to that ballpark?
No, I really want to go.
Right?
Yeah, PNC. It looks really cool.
It's a really cool ballpark. Got to get out there. I got a Red Sox hat when I was in Boston. So, anyways, I've never felt more seen by this 217. Husbands of hairdressers are always the last one to get a haircut. I feel you, Piper. I've never felt more seen. That is 100% my life. Thank you. Anyways, not to dwell on that. It's not about me. Let's talk last night, Astros and Rangers. The Astros in a must-win situation going on the road. Scherzer, we wondered, you know, how would that look, him off the absence? And, I mean, the stuff looked decent at first. I mean, he got through the first inning. He was touching 95, breaking off some breaking pitches, but then he got roughed up. He gave, what, five earned? Did he get to four? Did he get through four innings?
I don't think so. I think he got... Maybe he came back out for the fourth, but he only got through three, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Young hit a couple of bombs, but so did Altuve, and that Astros lineup really was able to have an awakening, and Alvarez almost hit another one out, if not for getting robbed at the wall.
I guess he did get through four, but yeah, five earned runs. Astros, I knew the Astros weren't going to go out quietly. As good as the Rangers had been, there was just no way that this Astros team was going to lay down and get swept. Mm.
Didn't you tell me to put all my FanDuel money on the Rangers plus 115 yesterday?
No, I didn't.
I didn't do that.
I think you and Lon put together like a 12-leg parlay. But...
Yeah, that okay, we hit the parlay in the Phillies D-backs game too. We missed yesterday. Lon's not here, so we don't have a parlay for today. Probably for the best. There are two games, so maybe we'll get one in. For Rangers Astros tonight, I got to look up what's that pitching matchup tonight, Kyle. How do you feel like this one's going to go in Game Four? Urquidy against Andrew Heaney.
Yep.
Is Houston going to even this thing up?
I think Houston's going to even it up. I think all it takes is that one. The Rangers have been undefeated in the playoffs, and I feel like all it takes is that one loss, and all of a sudden now the Astros have the momentum again. I know it's at Texas, but I don't think it makes as much of a difference with it being the in-state battle. And I think Houston is going to make this a 6 or 7 game series. I just think they're too good come postseason time. That lineup, Yordan Alvarez, is just too dynamic. I think it can get to Andrew Heaney in this game. Yeah. I think once you get back to Montgomery and Eovaldi, I think the Rangers will have the upper hand again. But this is a game I think the Astros can get.
Yeah, I mean, if Houston's able to get this 2-2 and then throw Verlander out there again, I'm not saying he's going to necessarily outpitch Montgomery, but the odds, if you would have told me, is Verlander going to get beat twice? I'd probably say no, but we'll see obviously how that thing plays out. Another thing last night of no, I mean, it wasn't a one-run game or anything, but I'm reminded every time I watch him pitch, Ryan Pressly's filthy, dude. Like, you get to the ninth inning and the Astros can throw Presley out there. I know he's – the Astros have been a staple of the postseason. They've gone to seven straight ALCS for a reason. He's never blown a postseason save. He's really tough.
Yeah, he's good. He is very good.
One final note before we catch a break. How about if I pitch you this, and I'll pitch it out to the text line as well. If I could give you full control of the result of these two series, just for your viewing pleasure in the World Series, what would you want to see?
Oh, for sure, Phillies Rangers. Yeah, those two teams have been the most fun all postseason. I'm sick of the Astros. Listen, they're a very good baseball team. Seven straight ALCSs speak for themselves. Sick of them. Would love to see the Rangers break through and win a pennant. And this Phillies lineup is so much fun. That environment in a World Series, We saw it last year. We've seen it so far. That would be an electric series.
Rangers is an easy one. It's tough for me as I currently rep the D-backs hat. I feel like it'd be just disgraceful to wear this hat and then pick the Phillies. But I can't get enough of watching this Phillies team play. I really can't. And my honest take would be, I want to watch Philly all the way through the World Series. And I hope they win it, honestly.
Yeah, I know. I've kind of jumped on the Philly bandwagon, which I never thought I would. I never thought I'd be actively rooting for a Philly team. But it's got the Cubs connections, huge Schwarber fan. Bryce Harper I've started to like more and more the last couple of years since he's gotten a Philly. I love Castellanos, obviously, another guy that was awesome for the Cubs. And, yeah, it's just that I'm a sucker for an electric atmosphere and a really passionate fan base that you just kind of have so many moments to see throughout a postseason, and that's kind of been Citizens Bank Park and that Philly fan base. So I don't know. I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I've been riding the Phillies.
I want to see play as many clips of Bryce Harper home runs and just incredible crowd noise and the bell as possible throughout the rest of this fall. Scott says, Philly win and Astros to go against as a villain. I definitely understand that. One final note, if you're a Cardinals fan out there, maybe you want the Diamondbacks to win it, because then it, or at least show up in the World Series, because that could tell you that, hey, you could lose 90 games and you're not that far off from making a World Series appearance. What, they lose 90 games maybe as recently as last year, if not 2 years ago? Yeah, so I'm just trying to talk myself into that one. Anyways, if you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I line link text line. Catch a break. Brad Underwood, Dane Danger, left to hear from. Stick with us for that. This is The Drive.
From computer systems to brakes and tires too, at PDR, fixing cars is what they do. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 or use their dedicated text-only line at 383-0619. Additional information, including repair quotes and online scheduling requests, available from the website at pdrauto.com. Remember, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Elevate your exfoliation game with Merle Norman. Say goodbye to dry, patchy, rough skin with the advanced exfoliating charcoal scrub. It's packed with detoxifying charcoal and mineral-rich volcanic sand for fun, gritty, at-home, microdermabrasion-style facial treatment that results in an instantly polished, more visibly radiant complexion. Get instantly nitty-gritty pretty skin with Merle Norman's exfoliating charcoal scrub. Available now at Merle Norman.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit bulldoggybag.com.
That's bulldoggybag.com.
Illini fans, for a limited time at Jet's Pizza, new popcorn chicken pizzas. They're tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. It's new and a limited time offer, so don't miss out. Try any of the four for just $17.99. Code BBQ. Their popcorn chicken pizzas are perfect to order while watching football with friends and family. Try their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. Just $17.99. Code BBQ. Jets, better because it has to be.
Champaign Center Partnership is excited about fall events in downtown, midtown, and campus town. U of I Homecoming has fans coming after the Illinois-Wisconsin game for the Saturday night show at Market and Taylor, featuring the Tons of Fun Band from 6 to 9 as part of a special Saturday Night Live. Sun Stereo will be on a second stage near Poor Brothers and Tons of Fun over by Farron's. Celebrate Homecoming Saturday night in downtown Champaign with Stevie J Broadcasting.
Hey, this is Derek Piper from The Drive. We're doing our show from Pia's Friday, October 20th, beginning at 3 p.m. Come out and join us.
I can't wait, and we're going to have some special guests, Derek Piper. How about former Illinois players? Martin O'Donnell, love hearing him. Great player on that offensive line.
Enjoy Twisted Tea drink specials, prizes, and tickets to the homecoming game as well against Wisconsin that Saturday.
Pia's 1609 Springfield Avenue in Champaign with a team from Stevie J Broadcasting saying, Go Illini! Illini fans, gear up for the football season this year with the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Get ready to support your Fighting Illini by shopping their great selection of Illini football merchandise, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, even brand new Nike replica jerseys. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights. Dogtown is the people's choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Still scoreless there in Arizona, early in Game 3 of the NLCS. Let's hear from Brad Underwood, shall we? Gave some great insights into what he's seeing from this team currently, how this team's shaping up, and what he's expecting. Look, tomorrow night, you're facing Ottawa University, NAIA school.
They're a heck of a team. Oh. They're well coached, and they are going to be a big challenge for us. They can really shoot the ball, and
that's what Brad says.
We got to be ready for that team.
If you and I were opening a sports book, and for whatever reason we decided to take bets on exhibition games, what would we set the line at tomorrow? Man.
It's got to be in the 40s to me. I mean, would you get to 50?
I was thinking 50 plus. Yeah.
Would you go like?
I'd rather have people have money, like us set the line too high and have people bet Ottawa than us set it too low and just get hammered on Illinois. Like if we set it at 55.5.
I would never. Obviously, I'm not able to bet, but I would never, ever bet on a team winning by 56 or more points, ever.
You wouldn't think. Illinois is deep, though. It's like they could call off the dogs and say, all right, here – Amani, Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn.
Yeah, that team would probably win by 20 in a 40-minute game against Ottawa.
They should, if not more. But yeah. We'll see what that looks like tomorrow night. BTN Plus, yeah, hit up the text line. You're mad about it. I get it. It stinks. But that's where it'll be. Otherwise, I'll be at the State Farm Center, and feel free to join me. But Brad Underwood spoke about what he wants to see tomorrow night, just kind of the current state of this basketball team as they gear up for the ones that count here before too long. Here is Brad Underwood.
Yeah, here we go. Great to be back in State Farm Center. Great to see the bright lights, orange and blue seats. You know, exhibition times are always a time of learning and experimenting and finding out what you have. You know, I'm excited for Joey Biggs to be able to bring his alma mater in here. You know, to be able to his nephew plays on the team and to be able to do that. Joey's been an extremely loyal director of ops. He's the best in the business. Excited for his family to be in attendance, for him sitting on one sideline and his nephew on the other, and hope they enjoy that moment. Along the lines, we're going to try to get better as a basketball team. And they're extremely well coached. They're going to play fast. They're going to shoot threes. They'll be picked at the top of their league. So it's something that will be good for us. There's nothing better than putting the uniforms on for the first time, running out in front of a packed house. It's homecoming weekend. Again, we'll play a lot of guys. We'll look at a lot of different lineups. We've done no scouting in this game. This is about our base. This is about our fundamental stuff, the stuff we've been working on every day since before we went to Spain and to this point. We don't have very much in offensively yet. Again, it's about the base stuff we're doing. We want to find combinations. We want to find out what lineups look good together. Expect a lot of guys to play. You know, we'll see how that goes. We're trying to play really, really hard and get guys to a level of fatigue, and then have them get out, sub themselves out, and then it's the next guy in. I've loved how we've practiced. It's been fun to see the growth of our freshmen here in our first 12, 13, 14 practices. Nico Moretti, just a great, great feel. And then it's been fun to see Draven, just his scoring ability, just kind of flourish and his confidence grow. And then, you know, Monty missed a few days. He had a thigh bruise in our scrimmage last weekend, inter-squad-wise. But he's back, and he just continues to impress. So those guys will get a lot of minutes, and then we'll start looking at different lineups size-wise and versatility. So, this will be a great test, and hopefully we get the nervousness and play in front of a crowd out of the way, because the next one that comes after is pretty good.
Do you see a difference in how you're approaching this versus how you approach the Spain games?
Not a lot. You know, I think there's, you know, we didn't have a lot in Spain. You know, I hope we're more solid. I hope we're more disciplined. You know, I don't want there to be as much game slippage as there was. You know, Spain was difficult because we never practiced. You know, once we got over there, you know, we'd go 2 or 3 days in between games and never touch a ball, and that was different. You know, hopefully keep turnovers down. Still establish what we're trying to do conceptually, and meet our standards. And if we can do that, then it's it'll be a success.
How does Dane maybe compare now to a year ago, like when he was going into really his first full season?
Yeah, it's night and day. It's different. It's different from every aspect of you know, people forget he didn't play at Baylor. He joined us a semester. You know, he was trying to feel out what his role is, trying to feel out and go through the experiences of gaining knowledge about the college game. Probably the most underappreciated player on our team last year. People forget. You know, I mean, he was right at close to 10 points a game and 5 or 6 rebounds. But just what he's done commitment-wise to his body, the work, the dedication, the nutrition, the work with Fletch, the conditioning. You know, he was a guy that had a hard time running up and down when he first got here, you know, more than 2 trips. Now he's a sub 5-minute, 30-second mile guy. You know, he can run, and his conditioning is paid off. But that's a tribute to him and his hard work and you know, we've got a completely different player than we did when he arrived.
And he's talked about just when he's got the ball in the post, maybe taking his time a little more and being more patient. Just how does that develop? I mean, I think,
practice, patience, understanding. He's got to learn what the defense is doing to him. You know, he was a guy last year that because of his impatience, turned the ball over too much. You know, he's got a go-to move that he likes, and people are going to take that away in this league. People are going to scout. And so you've got to not just go to your go-to, but you've got to do what the defense gives you. And, you know, if they double, he's a very good passer. But you can't rush that. You've got to let that double get there. You've got to absorb that pressure. And then you got to make the right read. And we trust him in all that. He's got the ball in his hands a lot in what we're doing offensively. And again, the comfort of experience is helping him a lot.
What will we see from Marcus Dumas tomorrow night in terms of his skill set and his role on the team?
Yeah, I think everybody will see his versatility. You know, you're going to see a guy that will probably shoot and make a couple threes. You'll see a guy that will handle the ball in ball screens. You'll see a guy that will play in post-ups. You know, I'm excited probably as much for him simply because he didn't have Spain to see him in a uniform and what that looks like with our other guys. You know, and he'll play a variety of positions. You know, he's 212 pounds. He's dropped about 18 pounds, close to 20 since he's been here. So he's moving really, really well, and he's been great in practice. So I'm excited to see him in a uniform.
Is it fair to say he's maybe surprised you a little bit what he can do?
No, he has not surprised me. I knew what we were getting when we got him. He's a really, really good college basketball player, and his versatility is really, really good. He plays the game like someone who's a four-year, been in college for it. It's really slow. And it doesn't matter if he has Buck or Terrence or Coleman guarding him. The game is played at a pace that's really slowed down for him. Now, I want to see that with 15,000 in here, but I'm pretty sure we'll see that that same Marcus tomorrow.
You play a lot of guys in these things. How do you feel about having a deep rotation when they count, and how much will these exhibition opportunities tell you about your ability to do that?
These exhibitions tell a lot. They tell a lot. This one and the next one will tell, you know, it will tell a lot because, you know, there's no column that these games go in, win or loss. These games are learning and developing and growing and figuring things out. And as soon as we can figure out, do we have quality depth and can we play that way? I hope so. I think so right now. But ultimately, their successes individually and as a group will determine, you know, what that looks like. But I do like the fact we're experienced. I do like the fact we're old. I think we've got positional size, and we have versatility. So, you know, we'll see tomorrow. You know, again, we want them to play really hard. And when they get tired, next man out, and we can have 5-6 guys in double figures, then we become a really, really difficult scout, and I think we're capable of that.
People don't see stuff behind the scenes. How important is Joey when it comes to making schedules, travel, all those kind of things?
Oh, he's the brains behind it, and I say that, and he's literally that. You know, his day-to-day puts the schedule together. He deals with the promoters. He deals with every aspect of our program, from marketing to tickets to. He's on the administrative board here with DIA, and making sure that I'm in the loop, making sure things get handled, that he handles a lot of things that never cross my desk, and I have that kind of trust in him. He's extremely smart, but he knows me as well as I know him, and I have that kind of trust in him. And he's as good as there is in this business at doing his job.
What are you looking for out of Ty tomorrow night and these exhibition opportunities for him as point guard?
Yeah, get comfortable. Just get comfortable. Don't try to do too much. I'm really dialed in with him much more on the defensive side than I am the offensive side. you know, we can't lose sight of the fact that he's a really good rebounder. Excuse me. We don't want him to lose his best asset or one of his best assets because he's on the ball. We've changed up some things in our terms of our transition coverage because of that, but I really want him to take a big step defensively. Guarding perimeter guys, guarding ball screens. When you're a lead guard in college basketball, you've got the ball in your hands all the time, so you're receiving a ball screen and or you're guarding it and you're getting ball screened. And that's hard. There's some toughness involved in that. There's some cerebral listening and hearing and processing. And I want to see that growth on the defensive side. Offensively, he'll be fine.
Because you mentioned you didn't do any scouting for this game, but did you get like a cursory report on Jackson Biggs?
Oh, if Jackson Biggs scores, we're going to run for the next 3 days. If he gets a bucket, he's a really good player. He's a good shooter. I've been around Jackson a lot over the years, but if we might get a smile from Joey if he gets a basket, but we'll treat him no different than any other, and we'll have to do a good job because he can really shoot. He fits what their style is and system. And again, he's a young man who can make baskets. He's a way better player than Joey is. So we need to make sure we get that in print, by the way, in bold letters.
I know you're focused on this one, but have you and Bill had a chance to talk about what you want that to look like when Kansas comes to town?
Yeah, just briefly. Yeah. Just briefly. I mean, I think that we had a lot of discussions in terms of what it looked like a year ago and what we wanted to do. And you know, the difference is it's a game instead of a scrimmage where we played, you know, three or four 20-minute or 10-minute halves, and we had segments, and we stopped them at different times and coach. We obviously can't do that, but I think it's about both teams trying to understand against an opponent what we do well, and we're not trying to throw curveballs out there and, you know, a box and one, a triangle and two, or something stupid just to win an exhibition game. We're neither of us are about that. So it'll be great opportunities. We'll all play a lot of guys. Yet you're trying to figure things out against a top flight opponent. And that's the takeaway from that is you're doing it in front of fans. We're raising a ton of money, but you know, from the team side of things, it'll be pretty much who they are every day and who we are every day.
What are your thoughts on cracking the preseason top 25?
Yeah, it's an honor. It's a great place to start, right? You got to start someplace, I think I told our team, you guys know me by now, I'm never satisfied. So we got a long ways to go to get to where we want to go. And, we've got expectations that we don't shy away from here. We embrace them. And, so we've got work to do because we're 25. That's not where we're trying to get to. But it's a good place to start. It's nothing more than that. No one's played a game yet. So it's all on analytics and metrics and numbers and what people think. And, obviously, you know, the people who make them aren't very good. They had Carolina one last year, and they didn't make the NCAA tournament. So I don't pay a whole bunch of attention to it, but it's a starting point.
How drastic do you think the way the officials say they're going to call the charges or non-charges as it is now will be on how you want to play defense?
Oh, it's huge. It's a big deal. It's a stylistic change. You have to change what you do in rotations. And you know, when that plant foot goes down, you know, that secondary defender has to be set. Well, you know, some guys can leave at the free throw line, and you can't slide. They're all going to be blocked. So they've told us that, you know, 80 to 90% of the calls last year that were charges will be blocks now. They're trying to eliminate that play from basketball. They want scoring to go up. They're trying to prevent injuries. So it will be drastic. You have to jump and go vertical. We work on a drill every day where, as a secondary defender, you can't be on the ground. You have to just jump straight up and protect. So it's a It's a big stylistic change, and you know, it'll benefit some guys and some players and others that who take a lot of charges, and that's the way they defend. You know, I think we've changes how you defend the front of the rim with size. You know, it used to be you could slide under and take guys that took a lot of charges were great, but you know, now it's about going to the roof. You got to jump. So we'll see how it works for us.
Is there a guy on this team you think it impacts the most?
We have a lot of guys that try to take charges, and we've kind of had to, you know, Quincy Gurrier comes in, and I mean, he's, you know, early on he was taking charges 5-6 a practice, and you know, we want to keep him on the floor. He's a really good player. So that's why we've gone to a lot of practicing in drills, just going north and south instead of trying to slide under.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Dwayne Linton, a nationally certified nurse in the emergency department at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I work with a team of people who really care about what they do and are very flexible and adaptive in rapidly changing critical situations, and I would trust any of them at any time.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Dwayne in a supportive environment, visit carl.org/careers.
Hey, Illini fans, it's the best time of the year, homecoming. We can't wait to see you back on campus and at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, October 21st versus Wisconsin. Make sure to get in town early Friday for the homecoming parade and pep rally. Tailgating, family, homecoming, and Illinois football. What could be better than that? Get tickets at fightingillini.com.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits Green Street location, shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of their awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. With new styles coming in daily, there's sure to be something for every Illini fan. Shop them at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February. But at Iroquois Federal, we're still the same community bank we've always been. For more than 135 years, we've built relationships by helping build the things that matter, whether it's a business, a back porch, or the building blocks of a better life. If you're looking for a bank that's here for the long haul, Swing by today and see for yourself why different rules. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here.
Hi, this is Kirk Lehman with Aftershock Decals and Design. And right now we are looking for an honest, hardworking individual that wants a career with Aftershock Decals and Design. If you have any kind of experience wrapping vehicles, tinting windows, we want you.
You can't touch this.
No, not that kind of wrapper.
Can't touch this.
Please go to our website at AftershockDD.com, click on the Jobs tab, and send in your resume. We want you. AftershockDD.com.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued. It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk, residential or commercial. Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two Men and a Truck.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive at Sandpipe for ESPN Radio 93.5. Look out, Kyle. Brandon Faught. Three scoreless innings for Arizona.
I think it's time for their offense to show up.
Yeah, they're going to need that. They're going to need that if they want to win this game. We'll keep you posted throughout the last portion of the show. If anything is to happen here in the bottom of the third, that's where it currently is, 0-0 between the D-backs and the Phils. There was something that Kyle wanted to touch on before we get to Dane Danger, and that was Sky Clark's performance last night.
No, it wasn't.
I'm just kidding.
No. Illinois fans were keeping an eye on that Louisville-Simmons College scrimmage for whatever reason last
year.
I don't know why that would be, but...
Looked like Sky struggled a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep.
The real thing I wanted to hit on real quick before we get to Dane Danger is that the last couple questions Brad was asked there were about, apparently, the NCAA is pretty much eliminating the charge from college basketball. Apparently, I think what they said was... like 80-90% of what were called charges last year are now blocked. So what that basically tells me is there's no more slide in front of a guy, get your feet set, that's a charge. That's going to be a block from now on. In order to get an offensive foul, you got to jump up in the air with your hands straight up and whatever it may be. And I love it. I could not stand the charge calls that were taking place in college basketball. I would rather see the charge completely eliminated from the game than what we were seeing in college basketball last year, because it was ridiculous. Guys were nowhere near set and were getting charged. I mean, it just seemed like NCAA refs, maybe it was Big Ten refs more than any others. If you were in a position where a guy makes contact with you as he's going up to attempt a layup or whatever, they're going to call charge. I mean, as long as you're in the vicinity of him, who cares where your feet are? Who cares if you're moving? Heading the other way, that's a charge. And I was probably the thing that made me the most mad of all college basketball viewing last year. So to hear that they're cracking down on that and you no longer can just get handed a charge call for sliding in front of a guy, I am all for that. And I'm eager to see that play out.
This is progressive. This is good for the viewer of the game. It's good for those that are trying to coach it. And if you're a team that's less athletic out there, especially, you know, some of the low majors, mid majors that make the tournament, this is going to be a disadvantage for you, where sometimes you got to use your positioning, your fundamentals, where you can't compete athletically with somebody. But at the same time, it just got into a flop fest. There was Brad Davison. I would like to see him be brought back to the Big Ten and try to guard some people
this
year.
Give him his 17th year of eligibility, and let's see how he plays now.
Yeah, it just went way too far. And like you said, there were a lot of just bang-bang and everything. I feel like the ref almost sometimes got into the – especially on the home side.
Oh, yeah.
Got in the emotion of the call to just –
That's an exciting call for the home team.
It is.
The ref is the hero at that point.
Yeah, and it's one of the coaches' – favorite calls. Everybody loves the guy selling out for a charge, but let's get rid of that play for the most part. And it's funny, though. Number one, I hope that what the NCAA says actually turns into the product that they're saying here is a ton less charge calls. How do you have this type of progressive improving the game, and yet then on the football side we still got targeting and automatic ejections? We don't have enough time for this, but that just was
roughing the passer in football nowadays. That has to be changed. My goodness.
Quick aside. But before we do step aside for the day, Dane Danger also met with the media. You want to play that before we get out of here? Here is the Illini big man.
Finally getting a chance to get back on this court tomorrow night. Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I feel good about it. You know, it's been a long time. You know, I've been preparing the whole summer for it, so I'm just excited to get out here with this new group, see how things go.
How's it looking practice right now with the team, feel like?
It's looking great for us. You know, I feel like every day we're getting better as a team. I feel like one of the main things we've just grown, like our growth is just our leadership. I feel like we got a lot of guys on the team that can lead. We got a few older guys that's leading, so looking good.
What is this team doing well right now as you head into the first exhibition? What do you feel like?
One of the best things I'll say is really just our defense. You know, that's the thing we've been preaching ever since spring, you know, is just our defense and our effort. So I feel like we're definitely going to be one of the best defensive teams in the country, for sure.
I mean, what makes this team so good defensively?
Just because our connectivity, you know. We're talking out there, you know, we're always communicating. Like I said, we got a lot of guys on the team that can lead. So, you know, when we're out there, you know, we're all in sync. Defense.
Looks like you're in really great shape. What was the secret in this offseason for you?
You know, well, same thing. You know, I just consistency for me every day. Just doing conditioning every single day with Fletch. That was just, I added that in to all my workouts, whether it was just me shooting on the court or me weightlifting, you know. After, I will always, you know, go running a treadmill, and that led to my five minute 30 second mile time. So, yeah.
Any favorites you had to give up eating wise?
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff. There's a few things I had to give up. It was really just no carb, no sugar. That was just the main two things that I felt like took me to the next level in my body.
Better you than me.
Dane, what are we going to see different in your game this year? What are some things you focused on improving in the offseason?
You know, a lot of things. I feel like my free throws have gotten way better. I feel like me just last year, and a lot of times you see me turn the ball over a lot. I feel like this, just me being able to play last year, you know, I learned a lot from it. And, you know, a lot of times, like, I feel like you guys are going to see me just taking my time down there more, me being able to show my passing ability more.
At the free throw line, what do you think has been key to making the improvements that you said you made?
You know, it's just all mental. You know, I've been playing basketball for a long time, so just getting more reps up, just mentally focused and locking in more.
I mean, how have many additions of guys like Quincy and Amani, you know, helped push you just to add more talent to that front court group?
Right, yeah. So, I mean, they pushed me a lot in practice, you know, just coming in every single day. I feel like I can't have any days off with those guys, you know. Every day is hard for me, so.
A full offseason, guys like Dre and Ty, how are they kind of developed in that lead guard role with you guys?
I feel like, you know, Ty is always been like has that guard type of style, so you know we've tried that out, and it's success for him.
Do you feel like the team's a little bit ahead of schedule from where you were this time last year, and how important is it to get off to a fast start this season?
Yeah, I feel like we are really ahead. You know, with that Spain trip, I really felt like that helped us a lot as a team and just with our chemistry. So.
Fred's mentioned the gravity guys will pull defenders out for more spacing. What can that do for you, five?
You know, well, that just opens it up for me. And, you know, with me being able to, just like the way I play now, just me taking my time down there, you know, I feel like I can operate better down there, be able to pass back out, because I know a lot of traps are going to come, a lot of teams are going to try to trap me. And, you know, with me just being able to take my time, I feel like that would be better for our offense.
$15 and $15 for Dane tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to show up against the Ottawa 6'5 center. I mean,
he killed the low major
He did.
And they're NAIA. We did look up real quick. Exhibition game. Last year, they beat Quincy by 35.
35.
They beat St. Francis. It was like 101-37.
67 or something like that.
That was 2 years ago. We'll see where this one goes. At the Piper and Toss book, you can get Illinois minus 55.5 for tomorrow night. Speaking of tomorrow, join us at Pia's 3-5. That's where you can find us. Great guest, Jay Lehman, right off the top. Come out and have a great time with us. Thanks to Nick Osen, Badger 24/7, joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. We're out. Talk to you tomorrow. This is The Drive.